please open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1235. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 7, and then reading through verse 12. The 8th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses responsively. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And let's pray. And Father, we do expect you to do a work here this morning. We would not want to limit the work of thy Spirit in any sense. So help us to have willing hearts, a readiness of mind, and speak to us today. We need thee. And we pray that our hearts would truly be open to the preaching of thy word, that you'd use our preacher once again, as you have in the past, to speak to us thy truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to call to your attention one verse without your turning to it. We read it a while ago, but I want to call to your attention now. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. And here's my text. And to prove the sincerity of your love. I want to give you a test this morning. It's called the sincerity test. That's my title of my sermon, and the text is to prove the sincerity, or to test the sincerity of your love. This will not be one of those sermons that you'll walk away and say, boy, that was a great oratorical presentation. I never have done that. Nor would you say that was one of the preacher's better sermons. But I promise you that you'll be helped if you listen as I speak on the sincerity test, that you may prove the sincerity of your love. Our Heavenly Father, I want to bless the hearts of those whom I love dearly today. I have proved the sincerity of my love for them. And because I have, I know I have it. Now I want to be a blessing to them, so please help them to listen carefully. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an old illustration. I love it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, called by many the Prince of all Baptist preachers, prayed this prayer regularly in his life. Dear Jesus, help me to love you so much that when I look up to you and say, I love you, Jesus, you can say, I know it, Charles. I don't know a better prayer than that. Years ago, someone asked me in a question-answer session, this was many years ago, before I was pastor here, in your ministry, what is the thing that you'd rather have than any other single thing? And quickly I shot back, sincerity. Sincerity. You could have had a better preacher for the last 36 years, but you could not have had a more sincere preacher for the last 36 years. I want to be sincere. We're admonished, commanded in the Bible to be sincere. Joshua 21:14 says, serve the Lord with sincerity. That's a command. God commands you to serve him with sincerity. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, love the Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. Once again, that's a command, that you love him sincerely. In Titus 2 and 7, it says, in doctrine, showing sincerity. What does that mean? It means believe what you say you believe. It means really believe what your dogma is, and doctrine showing sincerity. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, some preach Christ not sincerely. Now, young men, if you're going to be a preacher, if you're not sincere, get out of it. Just get out of it. We don't need a bunch of hypocrites in the pulpit. I mean, the one thing, you may not be a good orator. You may not can preach like R.G. Lee, teach like John Rice. You may not cannot pastor a church like Lee Robertson, but you can be sincere. And whether you preach to 5 or 5,000, you'd be dead sure that you're sincere. You say, how can I know I'm sincere? I'm going to give you a sincerity test in a few minutes. But one way is to know how you behave at Hiles Anderson College. Now, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that ye be sincere until the day of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:2, and I love this verse, desire the sincere milk of the word. It means the Bible is sincere. It means the Bible means what it says. That's exactly what it means. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not many as corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul said, I'm not one of those that corrupt the word of God. I believe every word of it, he said, and I speak sincerely in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:12, in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation or behavior in the world. So, in these passages, we're admonished to do the following things. We're admonished to serve God with sincerity. We're commanded to love the Lord Jesus with sincerity. We're commanded to love the Bible with sincerity. We're commanded to preach with sincerity. We're commanded to live right with sincerity. We're commanded to love each other with sincerity. We're commanded to believe the doctrine with sincerity. Now, wait a minute. Most of us in this room today do not know if we are really sincere. Now, we may think that we're sincere, but you do not know that you are sincere until your sincerity is tested. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I'm saying that most of the people in this room this morning do not know for sure that you're sincere. I'm talking to women this morning in this room. You don't know if you sincerely love your husband. As far as you can tell, you do. But someday that sincerity will be tested. I'm talking to preachers this morning. Preacher boys, you think you're sincere, but you won't know you're sincere until your sincerity has passed the sincerity test. Now, how can we know? Brother, more than anything else, I want to know if I'm sincere. I want to know if I'm a sincere preacher. I want to know if I'm a sincere Christian. I want to know if I'm a sincere friend. How can I know that I am sincere? Well, in the first place, I want to say, I can know. You can know that you're sincere, and I'm going to show you this morning how you can test yourself to find out. Now, how then can we find out if we are sincere? By the very meaning of the word, we can find out. The word sin, S-I-N, means without. Without. And the word seer, C-E-R-E, which comes the word serity, or sincerity, is a word for wax. You can find this in the Cruden's Concordance. You can find this in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Find it anywhere. The word sin means without. And the word seer means without wax. So when you say he is sincere, it means he's without wax. Now, would somebody tell me what it means to be without wax? This word is a word that was used concerning sculpture and sculptors. Here's a sculptor who is chiseling a sculpture, a statue, if you please. Now, he finds there's some mistake in it. There's a place in it that's not exactly right. Now, rather than going back and redoing the part that's not exactly right, are you listening to me? He would take some wax. He would use that wax, and that wax was not detectable. The wax, you could not tell. He'd fill in the fault with wax. And folks would come by and say, boy, what a beautiful statue. What an amazing piece of sculpture that is. But hey, wake up over here. Wake up. Sit up there and listen to me. I'm preaching to you this morning. It's not a slumber party. It's preaching service. And so they would put wax in there. But then what would happen was suddenly the heat would come. And when the heat came, the wax melted. And the real sculpture was found out, and that which was not real was found out. Now, there was no way in this world they could find out what was the wax and what was not, what was the real thing, unless the heat came. Now then, how can you know you're sincere? What do you do when the heat comes? What do you do when the battle comes? What do you do? Listen, you young ladies that say to your husbands, these preacher boys, I love you, darling. You don't know for sure yet. You wait till he comes home some night and the deacons have voted to fire him. You wait till he comes home some night and the church has voted him out. You wait till the heat comes. You wait till the fire comes and the heat comes. Then he'll find out whether you really love him or not. So what it means is this. The way to prove your sincerity is, will you or can you stand the heat? Can you take it? Can you stand the heat? Can you take the fire? And so the Lord said, serve the Lord without wax. He says, love the Lord Jesus without wax. He says, preach the gospel without wax. He said, believe the doctrine without wax. He said, serve the Lord without wax. What does it mean? It means when the heat comes, what's going to happen? You heard me tell this story. I didn't plan to tell it. My hair began to fall out when I was 26 years of age, about 10 years ago. Just want to see if you're listening. My hair began to fall out. I have tried everything in this world to keep it from falling out. I first went to one of these places. They say they can restore your hair, you know. It was called Thomas Hair Experts. I was 26 years old. And I went there and took some treatments and I didn't get healed, but they got well healed and didn't help. I tried everything. One lady came in this church one day, I remember, she said, I can give you a mixture. She said, it's a mixture of vodka and pepper and salt and a few other things. She said, if you'll take that, pull your hair apart like that, and get a little cotton swab and do that, and then put it over here and part it all and put the vodka on. Listen, I smell like a tavern. Oh, vodka doesn't smell, does it? Anyway, does vodka smell? It doesn't? Then you've been drinking, because I don't smell anything on your breath. But, so, I tried that. I had vodka on my head for a year. Didn't do any good, so I drank it. Didn't care if I had any hair or not. I went over here to the drugstore in Carson's Mall over there, you know, in Woodmar Mall. Went over there to the drugstore, and they had something over there that they said, it will not grow your hair, but it'll color your scalp the same color as your hair. It was a spray. And so what you did, you could see my scalp, you know, as you know. And so you could see my scalp. And so I bought some. And listen, it was great. It was great. I colored my scalp everywhere there was any hair at all the same color as the hair. People said, you're growing more hair. I said, thank you. One Sunday, the air conditioner went out here. And I was preaching. And the heat came. And down came that stuff all over my face. People said, what's happened? I said, my hair's falling out. That's what's happened. Now, I was found out in the heat. And brother, you'll be found out when the heat comes. Anybody can serve Jesus when the sun's shining, you'll be found out when the sun sets. Anybody can serve God when the weather is clear and beautiful. We'll find out in the storm. I mean, when the fire comes and the heat comes and the storm comes. And Paul said, I want you to serve God so much that you'll take it when the heat comes. I want you to preach so you'll keep on preaching when the heat comes. I want you to tithe so you'll keep on tithing when the heat comes.
I want you to love me so you'll keep on loving me when the heat comes. I want you to stand for me so you'll keep on standing for me when the heat comes. And that's what God is saying. God said, I want your love to withstand the heat. I want your service to withstand the heat. I want your life to withstand the heat. When the burdens come, the trials come, the heartaches come, the battles come, and the fire comes, I want you to be sincere. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out they were sincere. They passed the sincerity test. Daniel found out he was sincere. He passed the sincerity test. John Mark, as a young man, found out he was not sincere. He failed the sincerity test. When the heat came in Pamphylia, he failed the sincerity test. Demas was okay till the sincerity test came, and Paul got in jail, and Demas forsook him. His friendship could not stand the sincerity test. And this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you are just as sincere as whatever you are or do holds up when the heat comes. I know today that I preach sincerely. I thought I did as a young preacher. I know I preach sincerely today. Why? Because my preaching is without wax. Brother, when the heat's come, I kept on preaching. The deacons of this church came to me 35 years ago, some of them. Deacon chairman said, we want to discuss your preaching. I said, go ahead and discuss it, but I won't be there because none of your business what I preach. None of your business what I preach, when I preach, where I preach. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I know I'm sincere today. Why? Because for 48 years of pastoring and 50 years of preaching this October 24th, I have kept on going and kept on preaching, and I know my preaching is sincere. My denomination tried to interfere with my preaching. Didn't work. My deacons years ago tried to interfere with my preaching. Didn't work. And I came here, one deacon walked up and he said, we're appointing a committee of people. You're going to have to get your sermons approved through us. Oh, 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 oh. I said, I already have one. He said, a committee that approves your preaching? I said, yes, I do. He said, how many on the committee? I said, three. He said, do I know them? I said, I doubt it. He said, who are they? I said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What America needs is some sincere preachers. Preachers that will take the heat. Preachers that can get in the fire furnace and stand. Preachers that can get the lion's den and stand. God give us some young men at Howells Anderson College that are sincere, and whatever heat comes, whatever battle will come, you stand true. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is seeking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name and preach when the heat comes. My friendship is proved to be sincere. I thought as a young man that I was a sincere friend and promised God that I would be. But I didn't know I was. I came to First Baptist Church just 36 years ago. It was in the heat of the battle for John R. Rice. Across America, he had become the most unpopular preacher in America. He had fought some battles and he was at the bottom. And this church, the church members here, many of the church members hated John Rice. In fact, most of the members in this church did not care for John Rice. But I was his friend. I had some people come to me and say, you're not going to have this Rice fella come here and preach, are you? The first preacher that preached in my pulpit as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, was named John R. Rice. If he's in the heat of the battle, I'll be in the heat of the battle. And Lester Roloff was going through his trials, battles. They put him in jail because he wouldn't let the state of Texas run his orphans home for him. We got on a jet plane that Russell Anderson chartered and flew to Corpus Christi, Texas. And while the state militia was coming to capture Brother... By the way, I bought a
an hour on the local television station and produced myself and emceed myself a telecast defending my friend Lester Roloff. When they came to capture him, I was in the building, had a preach-a-thon, and all the people that came there were lined around the building holding hands there, and I was inside preaching. I know I was John Rice's friend. Why? Because my friendship stood the heat. There was no wax in it. I know my friendship to Lester Roloff was real and sincere. Why? It stood the heat. There was no wax in it. I'm tired of people. Are your friend as long as the sun's shining? My denomination told me that I'd get kicked out if I kept my friendship with John Rice, Lester Roloff, and Lee Robertson. I kept my friendship with John Rice, Lester Roloff, and Lee Robertson. You know what? I could not shave myself. I could not wash my face and look in the mirror if I didn't stand beside my friends when they're in the heat of the battle. I know my preaching is sincere. I know my friendship is sincere. May I say this kindly, lovingly, and sweetly? I know that your love for me is sincere. I'm a very fortunate man. Had I never been in the heat of the battle, I would not have known for sure that you love me. I could have predicted that you love me. But brother, when the heat of the battle came and the fire furnace came and the lion's den came, you stood beside your preacher like the rock of Gibraltar. And I don't stand up here this morning and say, I wonder if they love me. Hallelujah! I know you love me this morning. Why? You stood the test. No wax in your love for me. Thousands of preachers across the country have proved their love for me and stood the sincerity test. My battles have come. Some angrily canceled me who said they were my friends. Some decided not to have me. They said, I'm your friend, but I can't have you anymore. Oh, I see some wax a little bit there. But some said, I don't care if I lose members. I'm your friend. Come preach for me. Some are asking me to come now. Yeah. Yeah. Sort of like Shimei threw stones at David while he was going out yonder to Menahem. When he came back still king, Shimei said, hey, all hail the king. Kick him in the shin, David. David wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't either. But you're looking at a very fortunate man this morning. I thank God for the heat through which I've had to go, because I am a man this morning that knows who his friends are. Mrs. Howell's love for me is sincere. Stood the heat. 50 years. The battles, the trials, the heartaches. She stood the heat. That's what sincerity means. I just love you. I can't do without you. Hug me, baby. You don't know if you love her or not. Well, oh, I've fallen in love. Not me. I don't want to fall in love. I want to jump in love. I want to stumble into love. Uh-oh, I'm in love. I want to tell you something, folks. Ladies, when that man of yours faces, I mean when he's in the heat of the battle and faces the heat, stand by him. That's what you said you'd do. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in health, in poverty and wealth, to love and cherish and obey. Did you hear that? And obey. Till death do us part. Not till battles do us part. Not till the heat do us part. Not till problems do us part. Not till
enemies do us part, but until death do us part. That's what you call sincerity of love, and that's what America needs. Not this Hollywood garbage. Not this Elizabeth Taylor, trade them in every time a new model comes out. That's not what America needs. America needs a generation of people whose love for God is sincere, and love for a husband and wife is sincere, and love for the Bible is sincere, and love for Jesus is sincere, and love for the truth is sincere. God, give us a revival in America of a love that will not melt when the fire comes. Without wax. Without wax. The real work of art was discovered when the heat came. I love yous are pretty easy to say. Standing with people when the heat comes. That's the best way to say it. Don't misunderstand me. I like I love yous. I love them. But I've had a lot of folks that said, I love yous, that melted when the heat came. You give me the kind of people that I pastor. And by the way, you stood by me in the battles in the heat. And God has come back since and given us 3 different days where over 3,000 people got saved and walked these aisles in one day. And here come the Shimeias back. Here comes Mephibosheth back. Who wouldn't go with David when he was in the heat, but he came back. And Mephibosheth said, oh, glad to see you. Glad to see you. Oh, let me tell you, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. And you'll call me someday to that home far away where his glory forever I'll share. I'll be entering in a few days my 70th year of life. I can look at you and say, I love you. And you know I do. And you could look at me and say, I love you. And I can say, I know you do. Well, how do we know? Because we've stood with each other in the heat, in the fire, in the battle. My life and standards and doctrines have been proved sincere. Because when every man wore pants and every lady wore skirts, I said, that's what I believe. Now when every man wears pants and every lady wears pants, I say I still believe what I did believe. The other day I was at O'Hara Field. I may have told you this. I've done this 3 or 4 times. I'd love to do it. Here came this gal in a pair of pants. It looked like it had been painted on her. And she was a size woman where if pants were okay, it would be okay for her. About a size 44X. And she was going to the washroom. One washroom had a figure with pants on. The other washroom had a figure with skirt on. She started walking to the one that had a figure with skirt. I said, hold it. That's not for you. That's for you. Fifty years ago, when I was licensed to preach, the same doctrines I believe then, I believe now. Let the battles come, let the heat come. For almost a half a century, I have proved my love for this book, for its convictions and standards and the old time religion they sang about a while ago as sincere. It is not melted because you can't melt the sincerity without wax. My love for this book has been proved sincere. Of all the things that I've lost, you can't lose friends, but what you call friends, over it's been for the King James Bible. If everybody in this room walks out this morning and says, we're going to put the NIV in this church or fire you, you will have to look for a preacher because you won't have to fire me. I'll be gone. My love for that book's been proved sincere. It didn't melt when the battle came. It didn't melt when the heat came. I love this story that you old-timers have heard. A couple got married back in the horse and buggy days. They took their honeymoon, didn't have cars.
True story. Happened in Texas. Read it in the paper. Couple's going on a honeymoon with a horse and buggy. Young man, handsome. Young lady, lovely. She was still in her wedding gown. Here, her wedding dress, and they're in a carriage, horse and buggy. And all of a sudden, the horse became wild and began to run quickly and rapidly. And the old buggy hit him. Didn't have paved roads in those days, and the old rocky roads and muddy roads, dirty roads. The old buggy hit him. And finally, the life of the couple was at stake. The young groom crawled out at the edge of the buggy and jumped on the horse and began to wrestle with the horse. And finally he fell beneath the hoofs of the horse and was trampled to death. When the man was dead, the horse stopped. Or dying, the horse stopped. His young bride of a few minutes came and looked at him and saw her husband for just a few minutes dying. He looked up and he said, "Honey, I loved you, didn't I? I loved you, didn't I? Jesus, I've been preaching for you for 50 years and pastoring 48. I loved you, didn't I? I stood for your book. I loved it, didn't I?" When the heat came, nothing melted because there was no wax there. And that's how sincerity is proved. Not because you're infatuated with a beautiful face or smooth skin. Not because you're infatuated with a teenage figure. Not because you're infatuated with a personality. But when the battle comes and the heat rises and the melting process starts, how do you take the heat? Spurgeon said, and I say it this morning, "Dear Jesus, I want to love you so much. Until when I look up and say, 'I love you, Jesus,' you can say, 'I know it, Jack. I know it, Jack.'" That's what you call the sincerity test. No one leaving. Would you bow your heads, please?